Hello, everyone. This is Father Steve, and this is the seventh episode of the Ways of Faith podcast series that I have been conducting and posting here on our parish website. And I would like to continue to talk about specifically different kinds of prayer practices that we can try or that we can make use of, especially while we are spending more time at home in the coming weeks, okay? So yesterday I talked about praying the rosary and how to do that, specifically with using pictures or art or images. Today I'd like to talk about praying with the Bible, and in a very specific way. Now, of course, there's lots of different ways to read and pray with the Bible, and there isn't one that is necessarily the best way. There are just different ways. Today I'd like to talk about one specific way of praying with the Bible, okay? And that is using our imagination, the power of imagination that we all have, to pray more effectively with the sacred scriptures. This idea of using your imagination actually comes from one of the great saints of the church, Saint Ignatius of Loyola, a Spanish priest who lived during the 1500s. He was the founder of the Jesuit order. And he created, during his lifetime, through God's grace, a specific type of spirituality and spiritual practice, which he called the spiritual exercises. They're known today as Ignatian spirituality, or the spiritual exercises of Saint Ignatius of Loyola. And in these spiritual exercises, he places a great emphasis on praying with the Bible, with God's word, and doing so in a very specific way, that is, through the use of our imagination. So for St. Ignatius, the basic idea is that a person should take one of the stories or scenes or events from one of the four Gospels involving our Lord Jesus, and then as we read it, we close our eyes and we imagine, as best as we can, the scene being described unfolding before us. We place ourselves in the scene, as perhaps as one of the people who is talking to Jesus or interacting, maybe as just a bystander. But we imagine ourselves in the scene, and then we get really specific with our imagination. So what do we see? What is going on around us? What does the surrounding town look like? What does Jesus look like? What do we feel? Is it hot outside? Is it stormy? If we're on the, if we're talking about the story of Jesus and his disciples when they're in the boat in the storm, we can feel the spray of the water on our face as the waves are hitting the side of the boat, okay? What do we smell, right? In the story that I'm going to use as an example here in a moment, there is a pouring out of perfume to anoint Jesus' feet. Well, imagine how strong and pungent that perfume would have been to our nose, right? What do we hear? What tone of voice is Jesus using? What tone of voice are other people who are speaking with Jesus using? What are facial expressions? All of this is in order to help us to use God's gift of our imagination, our creative power in our mind, to place ourselves in the biblical story, and so then allow God to speak to us through what we experience in imagining that story. In other words, it helps us to encounter Jesus in his holy word, perhaps in a new way that we hadn't thought of before. So it's one of the ways of allowing the living words of the Bible to not just be something that we read out of a book, but something that we enter into and that we live, that we take with us. So let's take an example. Let's use a real example from the Bible. I'm going to read a brief story from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 7, to you. And as I do, I encourage you now to imagine this scene as it is unfolding, okay? So the scene is you're at the house of one of the leading Pharisees, so one of the top religious leaders of Jesus' day, who has invited Jesus and a number of guests, including yourself, to come to dinner. And as you're having dinner with these religious leaders, you know, think of it like having dinner with a bishop or a priest, right? And Jesus is there, and then this all happens and unfolds before you, okay? Again, pay attention to what do you see? What do you smell? What do you feel? What do you hear? What's going on, okay? So let's try it. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind Jesus at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you."
"Tell me, teacher," he said.
"Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Now, neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?"
Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven."
"You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot going on in that story, right? A lot of things are happening. And we hear some of these gospel stories so often that sometimes I think we can forget the shock value of what's happening. Because we really do have to put ourselves in the scene. Imagine what that would be like. You're at a Pharisee's house for dinner, right? So this is, again, a religious leader. You know, this is a bit of a formal event. And in comes this woman, uninvited. She just walks into the house, and she begins to weep. Now, if you've ever heard somebody weep, it's pretty troubling to hear, right? It shakes you to the core. It's not just somebody whimpering or crying a little bit. She's weeping. It would have been loud crying, right? And she's crying so hard and so profusely that her tears are falling off of her cheeks and landing on Jesus' feet. And she sees that, and she gets down on her hands and her knees in front of everybody, and she starts to wipe his feet with her hair. And then she takes this jar of perfume and pours it out, right? Now, as we know, when you're using cologne or perfume, you usually want to use just a little bit, you know, just a dab in order to allow, because it's so strong, right? She pours the jar out. Imagine what that would smell like, how pungent that would be. Probably almost overwhelming. And imagine the looks on the faces of the other guests, right, who are watching this unfold and who know this woman. She has a reputation. She could have, for example, been a prostitute, someone who had led a public sinful life that everybody knew about. And all of this is happening, what does Jesus look like? What's his facial expression? Notice St. Luke says something really interesting. When he's instructing Simon the Pharisee, it says he turned towards the woman and said to Simon. So when he starts speaking about all of the things she's doing for him, he's looking at her, right? He's pointing her out.
And what does her face look like when Jesus looks at her with love and says, "Your sins are forgiven"? You can imagine the murmuring, right, of the guests at the table, turning to one another and saying, "What is he talking about? How is this possible?" But imagine what her face would have looked like, going from weeping and crying, red with tears, to that sense of peace and joy that we know comes from receiving God's forgiveness. That's just a little bit of how we could, with our imagination, pull apart that scene and place ourselves in it. Again, the point of that is to help us to live into the Lord Jesus' words and actions, to put ourselves in the midst of them, to remember that God's word in the Bible is living. It's a living word. It's not just any other book. God's word is alive and it speaks to our hearts now. What is Jesus telling me? Maybe the lesson that we could take away is, do I have sorrow for my sins as this woman did? Or am I willing to pour out everything at the feet of Jesus in my life as this woman did? You know, or am I happy when when someone receives the Lord's forgiveness and mercy, even if after they've done something horrible or terrible, when they turn to God? Am I happy or am I upset? When God lavishes his mercy on people, does that make me joyful or does it make me jealous? There's a lot of things we can take away from the scripture passage, okay? So I would encourage us, especially over the weekend now, as we read the gospel on Sunday, we're going to hear about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And again, there is a ton of things that we could meditate on and think about and imagine in that scene of Jesus meeting his friends that he loved at the tomb and then raising Lazarus from the dead. All of the sights and the sounds and the smells, what that would have, the emotion, what it would have been like. I encourage us to try that. Try that either Sunday or sometime this week to pray with that scripture, that gospel reading of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead in the Gospel of St. John, and see how God speaks to your heart. May God bless you.